WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. We are in a brief overtime period in our year-long series, 51 Council Members in 52 Weeks, in which, as many of you know, our goal has been to touch every neighborhood of New York City by talking to every member of the New York City Council in this year in which most of the council is new because of term limits. We did make it all the way to District 51 in this series yesterday with Joe Borelli, but because of scheduling issues along the way, we have a few to go back to who we couldn't get to in order. So we're happy to have with us now City Council Member Ina Vernikov from District 48 in South Brooklyn. Now, besides representing her district as a freshman council member this year, Ina Vernikov has made some national news in this year of the war in Ukraine. She is the only Ukrainian-born member of City Council, and she made news just recently as an Orthodox Jewish Republican who had previously supported Donald Trump. After Trump had that dinner with Kanye West and Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes, Vernikov was quoted in the Jerusalem Post saying this about the former president: when he spends time with individuals who openly support Hitler, our party's integrity, morals, and leadership are put to the test. So we will touch on that. But in the context of this New York neighborhoods-based series, District 48 includes Brighton Beach, Manhattan Beach, Sheepshead Bay, Homecrest, Trump Village, Luna Park, Brightwater Towers, and Midwood. I think I've got them all. The council member's bio page says she is a small business owner and a practicing lawyer, grew up as one of three children in a family of Ukrainian immigrants, being taught the value of integrity and hard work by her mother, a bookkeeper, and her father, a businessman. It says she has volunteered her time participating in Career Day for public school students, and that during the pandemic, she has volunteered her time at the local Masbia soup kitchen and donated meals to law enforcement officers at the New York City Police Department's 61st Precinct in Brooklyn, as well as essential workers at Staten Island University Hospital. She is a board member and Women's Committee Chair for Americans Against Antisemitism, and a chair at Legion Self-Defense, an organization providing self-defense and active shooter training, among many other things that she does. So we will start there. And Councilmember Vernikov, thanks so much for coming on WNYC and joining 51 council members in 52 weeks.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
We do generally start with some biographical questions. So in your case, would you tell us more about the circumstances of your family migrating to the United States from Ukraine? When was that? And since it's always a hard decision for people to leave their homelands, what contributed to that in your family's case?
Sure. Thanks for having me again. So my family came to the States in 1996, so, a while ago. At that point, I think all the Soviet immigrants had already left. We were kind of the last wave of immigration. I actually recall sitting at the table with my family. I was little, but they were deciding whether to go to Israel or to immigrate to America. And my family has decided that we're going to America. But those were the only two places where Soviet immigrants were going at the time. And, I came here when I was 12 years old. I have a brother and sister who, were very little when we came here. They're very Americanized. We came for a better life, for freedom. At that time, it was no longer the Soviet Union. It was already Ukraine. But things were still, you know, not as great as in the United States. We came for freedom, for opportunity. There was not that much economic opportunity. There was not that much religious freedom. And there was a lot of anti-Semitism. So, you know, my family brought us here just for a better life. And, you know, I'm a proud American. I'm very happy to live in this great country. And, you know, it's kind of part of the reason I entered politics is that I feel like, you know, the things that America stands for and the freedoms that we have here are kind of been eroding. So it's kind of why I entered the world of politics. I became an attorney and practiced law for 9 years. I had my own law practice for about mm-hmm. 8 years, mm-hmm. gave it up to do this. So
is there much of a Ukrainian immigrant or Ukrainian heritage community in your district? And how else would you describe the district demographically and how it's changed over your years of growing up there and living there now as an adult?
Yeah, sure. So there are 150,000 Ukrainians living in New York City, and they're concentrated actually between my district and Councilmember Carolina Rivera's district. There is a large Ukrainian population here, but it's really mixed. It's a lot of immigrants from the former Soviet Union, and they include immigrants from Ukraine, Russia, Poland, you know, just the Eastern Europe. And there's about 55% of Russian-speaking immigrants in my district.
Hmm. You know, my own maternal grandmother came from what is now called Ivano-Frankivsk in Ukraine. Back in those days, it was more known as Stanislaw, and it was part of Poland, as I understand it. But has the Ukrainian community in the district been able to support the war effort in any way this year, or are you too remote, too far removed from the for that?
Well, actually, yes. In February, when the war began, there was a lot of efforts to support Ukraine, and I was, of course, a part of that effort. We actually set up a drop-off location in my district at a synagogue, and we actually sent about 300 boxes of aid to Ukraine. And, you know, since the whole thing started, we've been active in helping locally, and people who are coming in from Ukraine. We've been able to help somewhat with housing. We set them up with pro bono legal services, and just, you know, any help that they need. They also, we're working with a local Muslim organization to give them cash and some supplies that they need. So, you know, if anybody needs anything, everyone's welcome to call the district office for assistance.
And one national politics question on this, with the new Republican House coming in and you're Republican, there seems to be some more questioning likely to come of the money the U.S. continues to spend on supporting Ukraine in the war, as opposed, some members say, to spending it on needs of Americans in this country. Do you have a position on that, or how much of a divide do you see within the Republican Party?
So I actually recently met with Congresswoman Victoria Spratz. She's the only Ukrainian-born congresswoman. And we actually spent some time talking about this. And look, I think that we definitely need to help Ukraine. And we have helped. And we've spent a lot of money. We gave a lot of aid and weapons to Ukraine. But I do think that there is merit to the argument that we do need to, you know, make sure that the aid we're giving is going to the right places. And from what I understand, and I haven't been so involved in this, but from what I understand, there has been some issues with where the aid has been going, that there's been a lot of, there's been some issues. So I do believe that we need to check and see where it's going exactly. And maybe we need to give more weapons instead of continuing to just give money. And yes, it is a very divisive issue here locally, because a lot of people are complaining and they feel like, look, we live here. You know, we gave them money, and we've got to support Americans and the citizens of New York. And we have a lot of issues here locally. We have issues with our border, and that we need money to be concentrated here rather than keep sending it abroad. So it is kind of a divisive issue here.
interesting and interesting coming from you that you kind of see both sides of that. Now, you are one of only six Republicans out of the 51 members of New York City Council. It was only five until last week, as you know, and Ari Kagan switched parties. But your area of Brooklyn is pretty Republican in general. What's your take on why that is and why it's different politically from most of the city?
Sure. Well, like I mentioned earlier, I represent about 55% of people who are from the former Soviet Union. And, you know, I think it's really beyond local politics at this point here. I think that the people who live in my district, for the most part, are really fed up with the Democratic Party and the way that the Democratic Party has been leading our city and our country. And, you know, we escaped communism, especially people who came here in the 80s. They ran away from that. And they really see our country moving in that direction of communism and socialism, and they won't stand for it. And, you know, they see what's happening here, the government overreach, the erosions of freedoms, and they are very angry about that. And so they will not vote for a Democrat. It's funny because when I was campaigning, If I would just tell people, hey, you know, here's my flyer, I'm running for office, some of them wouldn't even look my direction until I said the word Republican. When you say Republican, they will turn around, grab a flyer, and say they will actually go out and vote for you. So for some of these people, it doesn't even matter who is on the ballot. As long as it's Republican, they will come out and vote for you because they're so angry at the Democratic Party.
Yeah. And for a lot of Democrats, as long as you don't say Republican, they'll go out and vote for somebody. We're in that kind of polarized country at this time. But when you talk about the country as many of your constituents perceive it, heading toward socialism, and they come from the former Soviet Union, and so they have that grounding for that perspective. Of course, Democrats, including the Democratic Socialists in this country, Bernie Sanders, AOC, whoever, would say the kind of social democracy, the kind of spending on social programs that they advocate is so different from the kind of, you know, state ownership of the means of production and authoritarianism of the old Soviet Union. This is social programs in the context of democracy. It's so, so different. What would you, or what do you think a lot of your constituents would say in response to that?
Well, I mean, I don't know that people understand the details and the difference between socialism and communism so much when they talk about it. But I think that they feel mostly that there's a lot of government overreach. If you take the vaccine mandates, for example, it's a big no-no in my community. And, you know, I personally am not against vaccines, but I think that vaccine mandates is something that's very un-American. And the people who come from communist countries, they feel it. You know, they don't want government getting into their lives and telling them what to do, how to live their lives, what to put into their bodies. And so they feel that, for example, with vaccine mandates, the government was telling them what to do with things that they teach in schools now, things that they're mandating in schools now. They really feel like the government's overreaching and overstepping. And when they come to this country for freedom to live their lives however they choose and they want to, that's very scary to them.
If you're just joining us, my guest is City Council Member Ina Vernikov from the South Brooklyn neighborhoods of Manhattan Beach, Brighton Beach, Sheepshead Bay, and around there, Midwood also, and this is in the context of our 51 council members in 52-week series. We're going back to District 48 for a little makeup session as scheduling made us do this out of order. I mentioned in the intro the quote I've seen in the press from you after former President Trump had that dinner with Kanye West and Nick Fuentes recently. Fuentes described as a Holocaust denier, among other things. You were quoted in the Jerusalem Post saying about Trump, when he spends time with individuals who openly support Hitler, our party's integrity, morals, and leadership are put to the test. Republican leadership must do what is right, condemn his actions, and publicly call on him to apologize and dissociate himself. Is that an accurate quote? I don't want to misquote you.
I wrote it. So it's definitely active.
And has Republican leadership done that to your satisfaction?
I think some have and some haven't. I would like to see more Republican leaders do it. I think that, you know, we need to do, as a party, we need to do what's right and not what scores as political points, especially in situations like this. And, you know, I was a big supporter of the policies of President Trump. And I still think that he did a lot of great things for our country and actually for the world. But I think that right now, you know, as a candidate for president, someone with such a big voice, he needs to disassociate himself and denounce this, because it's actually having an impact on what's going on everywhere. Because when you have people like Kanye who are openly saying that they like Hitler, you know, there are actually people who will come out and take action about this. Take action and commit crimes and assaults. I mean, right after Kanye came out with all this anti-Semitic and, racist rhetoric, we've had people here being beaten up, assaulted physically. There's been a lot of things happening on social media that are, I think, very dangerous. And when people like President Trump don't come out and disassociate themselves, I think it creates a very dangerous precedent. And so Republicans, Democrats need to come out against it. And look, there's a lot of anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiment in the Democratic Party. And we speak out against that all the time. But we have to do what's right and speak out against it when it's in our own party.
Do you think Trump would win a Republican primary in 2024 among the registered Republicans in your district, many of whom are Jewish? And could you vote for him again?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We don't know who's going to be running yet. I think it's very early on to it's hard to tell right now. I think it's a mixed, there's a lot of mixed feelings in my district about President Trump right now. I think a lot of people agree with, you know, what I've been saying, that he must come out and disassociate himself and condemn. But I think there are still a lot of supporters of President Trump, so I think we have yet to see.
Getting back to local things, I see you've been in the press. Well, I see that your office told us that crime and public safety are among your top priorities, also anti-Semitism, also fighting the trash and the rats in your district. You know that almost every city council member lists trash and rats as among their top three priorities. So there's something that unifies the city right now. But on public safety, I see you've been in the press opposing a bill in city council to bar landlords from asking many prospective tenants about criminal histories. The proponents say if someone committed a crime and served their time, it shouldn't follow them for the rest of their lives, and that denying housing also makes it harder for the person to go straight. What's your position?
So I've been a vocal opponent against this bill. And, we do believe in second chances. And I think that people sometimes misunderstand what we're talking about here. We are not against giving people second chances and allowing some who have committed minor offenses or have committed crimes a long time ago and have been rehabilitated to get housing, but that's not the issue, and that's not what this bill is about. This bill would ban landlords, property owners, from even checking to see what kind of a criminal background does this person have. So the problem with this bill is that it might become very dangerous for just tenants all over New York City, because you might have somebody who recently committed a serious crime or who is right now in the criminal system, who is a repeat offender, living next door to you. And it might be somebody who robbed, who raped, who, committed murder, living next door to you. And that's the issue that we have with this bill. And again, we're not against, allowing people into our homes, into our, landlords to allow them to live on their property. If they have done something in the past, but to not allow a landlord to see what kind of a criminal background somebody has, I think it's too extreme.
On crime in general, when we look at how people voted for governor, it was a fairly straight line on the more crime there was in a New York election district, the less they voted for Lee Zeldin, who, of course, ran as the anti-crime candidate. That makes it seem like people in the most crime-prone districts, mostly Black and Latino, mostly low-income, also think that very police-oriented crackdowns also put them at risk, as well as the crime itself. Is that a position that you, as someone not from one of those districts, might learn something from when deciding what policies to support? Or how do you understand that curve?
Well, I mean, you know what? I actually speak to many minorities from different communities, not just my own district, because quite frankly, in my district, the crime, it's not as high as in other districts. So we have issues with theft, petty theft, car break-ins. We don't really have a high rate of murders in our district. So I do speak to others from other districts, and I'll tell you that members of the minority communities, like Black and Brown and Latino communities, they actually want more police. There's more crimes happening in their districts. They're more serious crimes, and they actually don't want to defund the police. They want more police. Of course, there are issues. Of course, there are problems. The NYPD is not perfect. I actually think they need more training, not less, which is why I would never vote to defund the police. But I do think that they overall want more police presence in their neighborhoods. And I think that that's why Lee Zeldin got the most votes of any Republican recently running for governor, because he ran on crime. His number one issue was crime. He was at every train station. Every other day, he was at a different train station talking about crime. So, and I think that's why he got didn't win, but he got such large numbers, because he kept talking about it while Governor Hochul was saying that it was just Republican perception and fear-mongering. But people feel what's happening, because people actually are the ones who are taking the trains every day. They're walking the streets, and they see and feel what's going on.
Right. And I think you're right that the surveys show that people in whatever neighborhood generally want more police, not less. But still, when you look at how people voted, the more crime there is in a district, serious crime, it seems the more likely they are to vote for Democrats and not trust the Republican version of cracking down on crime. Any theory why that is?
I'm not sure I agree with that, but I also haven't reviewed how people voted in every district. But I do know that the sentiment right now is that people are afraid to take the train. They're afraid to go to the city. There's a lot of fear. That's because people have been feeling it, and not because it's just perception.
We're almost out of time with City Council Member Ina Vernikov from the South Brooklyn neighborhoods of Manhattan Beach, Sheepshead Bay, Midwood, and around there. And last two questions. One is, we ask every council member in this series, what's the number one reason, since you were sworn in January, that constituents contact your office?
Oh, I definitely think it's trash. It's sanitation. I mean, we have hundreds of complaints logged into our system about sanitation, illegal dumping, rats. And I think, like you mentioned before, it's a problem that's pervasive all over the city, not just our district. But I would definitely put that into a number one category.
Do you think the Adams administration is getting a handle on it with their new anti-trash, anti-rats initiative, or not really so much?
I definitely think they're trying. I think we got to give them some time and see if their initiatives are working. But from what I see here, I think it's hopefully going to get better.
And finally, we invite every council member, as you know, to bring a show-and-tell item from their district about something in the district you might like other people to know about, or that they might like to know about but don't know about. What did you bring for show-and-tell?
Okay, so I brought borscht. It's a Ukrainian soup. It's basically a soup made out of beets. And sometimes people put meat in it and sour cream, and sometimes they don't put meat in it. But I brought it because it's a Ukrainian dish, and so many of my constituents are from Ukraine, and I'm from Ukraine. But I actually, it's funny because my parents actually forced me to eat it as a child, and I will not eat borscht under any circumstances.
That's funny. I guess the foods of our childhood either become comfort foods or they become, no, never again. And of course, there used to be the borscht belt in the Catskills, as it was known. In my experience with borscht, it's generally served cold. Is there such a thing as hot borscht?
Well, I remember my mom serving the green one. There is a green version of it that's cold, but I've never had it cold. We always had it warm. But I think some people do eat it cold.
City Council Member Ina Vernikoff, thanks very much for coming on today and joining 52 council members in 51 council members in 52 weeks. Good luck in year two.
Thanks so much for having me.